But that's what God does, is he takes the most messed up people and has them be a minister in the area that they were the worst at. You might feel like, I can't do this. And it's like, no, that's what God wants. That's where he wants you. Is like, there's no way I can do this. He goes, yeah, I know. Let me show you. And then you'll understand it's all me, not you.
Welcome to the Strategic Families Podcast, where we challenge your family to be rooted in God's Word, energized with gospel-centered purpose, and activated on mission for His kingdom. Hey everybody, so we're back today with part two with John Fort, Director of Training for Be Broken Ministries, which helps people move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to part one, and if not, I'd encourage you to go check that out. So today we continue our conversation, and John helps us with some problems we can run into when addressing this critically important topic. He also gives us some great resources to consider to protect our kids. And before we jump in, just a friendly reminder to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you already did that, thank you so much. All right, on with the show. All right, we're back here with John Fort for round two of this really important conversation on healthy sexuality and talking about it with our kids. So John Fort, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to circle back on something that you touched on at the end of the last time. And you said, you know, in your book, you actually have the word "the" crossed out. So it's not "the talk," it's "honest talk." You know, in the old days, it was kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I guess I need to have the talk at some point. And even parents my age, we talk about, yeah, I remember my parents gave me the talk. Well, I mean, that idea, like, that's just not sufficient. And that's one of the things that I think your book helps us see is like, no, this is a years long thing. Can you talk about that aspect of it just to disabuse us of this notion that we could sit down and have a 45-minute talk and handle this with our kids? It's not like that.
The first thing that's funny about that question is that when you think about all the questions you had about sex as a kid, all the things you were exposed to, and last time we talked about feelings and emotions, which has to be part of this too, it's like, you can't possibly cover all of that in one talk. And the other thing is developmentally, the kinds of questions you have and the situations you're wrestling with change constantly. And so,
right,
you know, an eight-year-old does get exposed to certain types of things, not necessarily pornography, and has to work through them, or they do have questions. But then again, at 12, they may have more questions. And if you had the talk at 8 and you say you're done, and at 12 there's more, and you haven't left the door open for them, then that's one of the things. And again, as I said, there's not a conversation. We talked about six conversations: feelings and emotions, God's design for sex, preparing your kid to be exposed to situations, helping them deal with sexual temptation, how do you handle that, processing exposure when it happens, and then using your story, when and how to use your story as a parent. So for one thing, it's six conversations, not one, and they each one of those have things to talk about at each different age. So you've got six kinds of conversations to have, and I would at least break it down to four different age groups. So, you know, but you want to have these kind of more ongoing anyway. So, but again, one of the things we talked about last time was that parents are afraid it's going to take too much work, and that's overwhelming. So that's the goal of Be Broken and other ministries like us is to break that down for you. And so you don't have to figure that out and say, here you go. You say, here are the conversations to have, or here, pick from these and do some of them.
Yeah, no, that's great. A lot of times parents see things like this and we think, yeah, it's going to be too much work, but think about the consequences of not doing it. How much work is that going to take? You know, and a lot of times we don't think about that, and we could apply that principle to many other aspects of parenting, but I think this is an important one. If we don't have it, think of the things that could result from not having it, and that could take way more time, and not to mention, you know, all the, you know, the consequences of that. But you know, there's another thing you touched on, John, last time that I think is worth circling back on and emphasizing. And that is that I think parents implicitly sometimes, I think we probably all fall prey to this, to think like, okay, well, if my kid brings something up, like, yeah, I want to address it, then I'll know it's an issue. And, you know, that could go, that goes to for pornography and all kinds of other things. But I think one of the things you're helping us see is that this issue, at least this issue, I mean, it is going to be something that you have to address. There's no getting around it. There's no, and not that we should even try to get around it, but it will come up. It's just a matter of when. And so we can't wait until our kid brings something up. We have to address this proactively. So yeah, there's not really a question there.
Well, I would say in response to that, though, think of yourself as a kid. Think about a time when you had a question about sex. Did you go ask your parents? Probably not. Why? Because the door had not been opened. Remember, kids say they don't think their parents will understand. I remember thinking of my dad as I entered puberty and started getting sexual feelings. Like, my dad never talked about that at all. And I remember literally thinking, was my dad even into, like, when he was a teenager, did he look at girl? I didn't even know, you know what I'm saying? Because my dad was a pastor. And so, like, he talked about, here's the funny thing is my dad talked about all kinds of other things. He talked about alcohol and, like, him being a kid and that whole thing and smoking and drugs and, like, just, I mean, not that he did those things, but the idea was, is he talked about navigating that as a kid, but he left sex out. I mean, completely. And so because of that, the door was shut to that conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have to open the door, and then the kid, now there's different kinds of kids. Some kids need a lot more prodding to get them to share, which is why one of the resources we have is called Just Between Us. It's a journal for kids. Some kids will write about it and back and forth. They're just too weird to talk to, but kids have a question. Let me give you some examples of opening the door. When my son was 17, we were in the car and he asked me, Dad, I heard a word, and I won't tell you what it was, but it was a slang term or something. It wasn't even a slang term, it was about sexuality. And he said, I'm really embarrassed, but I heard kids saying this word, and I know it has something to do with sex, but I don't know what it means. Now, as a dad, that made me so proud of him, because he said, I was embarrassed because I'm 17 and supposed to know everything about sex. And it's like, well, none of us really know everything about sex, right? And so, but then that he asked me instead of looking it up online or asking one of his friends. Awesome. But he only did that because I'd opened the door a long time.
Yeah.
Another, when I was 9 years old, I was at a friend's house, and we had the three of us boys there spending the night. And friend had found his dad's pornography stash, which was magazines back then, but it was enormous. And he brought them out. Well, no one ever told me that this was a possibility this could happen. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know what to do. I was only like three doors down from my house, but I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Another pastor said when he was 8 years old, his dad sat him down and told him every dirty word there was and explained what they all mean and all the everything. And he goes, now, if you ever have a question about sex and talk about pornography, and this is going to happen. So his dad had opened the door. When he was 9 years old, just like when I was 9 years old, he was at a friend's house and they got pornography out. Because they had talked about it and knew what to do, he got up and went home. Do you see the difference? I stayed up half the night looking at porn. He went home because of the conversation.
Right.
All these conversations will happen. Are they going to happen with you or your kids? But you have to open the door, because they don't know that they can bring those questions to you.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that. As you said, if we fail to address this stuff as parents, where are our kids learning it from? I mean, Google, goodness gracious, or, you know, the 9-year-old kid down the street. Like, they might be good kids, but they are not qualified to teach our kids. Not that we're, like, as parents, like, eminently qualified, but we're in a great position to do it. And yeah, so that's great. What you also touched on something last time that I thought is worth addressing, because I could see a lot of parents having this question, but just the difference in what we grew up with. I grew up in the 80s, and the difference in what between that and then what kids are growing up with now. Can you just talk about what are some things that are the same, you know, because we've seen sexual brokenness all the way back to Genesis, right? Like, this is not a new problem, but there are some things that are different and new that we need to get out in front of and know about. Can you just talk about those?
Well, before I do want to point out that a lot of people act like this, it's never been this bad before. That is not true. During the time Christ was alive, it was worse than it is today. The culture that the Roman culture that surrounded the Jewish people was far worse sexually than it is today. So there are times in culture, this is kind of cyclical. I think we'll someday eventually kind of go another direction. It kind of just goes around in cycles of wild sexual immorality, and then people see the consequences of that. And culture, even culture that's not Christian, realizes we got to knock this off. And then they get very Victorian. They'll start really going the other direction. And so we've seen this happen in human history over and over again. Mm. We are not to the pinnacle. It will get worse than this because it has been worse than this. So, but 50 years ago, you probably did have to talk to kids less about sex. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't just everywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? Today, it's everywhere. It's because it's anything on the media, anything TV, anywhere. They're sneaking in all kinds of stuff that is promoting transgender issues and LGBTQ, all this kind of stuff like that. So in cultures, we have what we call norms. They're not written down laws, but just like it's just known that you don't do this.
Right.
So in cultures basically all over the world, because I study this stuff of all time, there have been, not now, but there have been norms against homosexual behavior. Because this is the reality. First of all, let me say, my background is biology. I have a master's degree in biology and genetics and embryology and childhood development. So I was a biology teacher. So I have both the childhood development stuff from teaching and also all the science, because I was a biology major to begin with. This is what the reality with sexuality is. When you are around puberty, you are extremely susceptible to being sexually interested in virtually anything. We are, of course, genetically wired to be heterosexual, because otherwise our DNA doesn't pass. But today, our kids are exposed to all this stuff in a lot of cultures and kids. Like, you see this mainly in schools, but it's everywhere else. It's like what I'm hearing from kids today who are in middle school and high school. If you are straight and you are comfortable with your own gender, you are a bad guy.
Wow.
In other words, there is enormous pressure to experiment with sexuality. In other words, if you are literally as one of the bad guys, if you are not, this is where our culture is growing.
That's crazy.
Now, it was worse in Rome, because in Rome, they didn't even have a word for homosexuality, because so many people had sex with both genders. It was part of worship sometimes was having sex with prostitutes of both genders. We are not as bad as has been in the past. But Christianity, when the New Testament was being written, was in worse situation than we were. And you see how they're confronting that and that kind of thing. So we can't, to not talk with our kids about sex now is more dangerous than it has been in the last many generations, probably in the entire history of the United States.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want parents to get scared and freaked out and panic. That if you have these conversations, it just tones everything down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you want to be the first one to talk about this.
Yes.
Not the last one.
Right. No, well said. John, I know this is not the area that you focus on, but I still would really appreciate your opinion on it. Totally understood that we cannot shelter our kids away from this stuff forever. But, you know, obviously we want to do what we can to protect them, especially at really tender ages. You know, I'm thinking internet, I'm thinking phones, I'm thinking texting and stuff like that. Do you have just some quick like recommendations from your work of the kind of things that parents can do that you would say, yeah, you really need to do this at this age, or you really shouldn't let them have this at this age?
This is not Christian. This is across the board. The very, very youngest a kid should have their own personal internet device is 14. So anything before that, now I gave my kids phones when they were 9 because I wanted to be able to text them and say, come home. You know what I'm saying? Because they're playing outside someplace. And sure, tell a kid come home at 5, they don't remember to look at their watch. You know what I'm saying? So like, I would call them and say, where are you? Come home. And so, but you can still do that. You know, in fact, you know, they have Gab Wireless makes phones.
Sure,
and
watches,
and there's Techless that makes the Wise phone. And that's for older kids kind of. But you can also take any phone and call your provider, whether it's AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile or whoever, and say, put a data block on this number. That means a data block means the phone works, the text works, but nothing else works. Like it can't, you can't bypass it, you can't hack it, you can't do nothing. It just doesn't do it. They will tell you they can't do that. They are lying to you. And then you will have to say, you have to, by law, this is my child. I don't want them to have this. So, and so you can give them any phone and put a data block on. And that's what we did with our kids, even with, because even with the early flip phones, they still had kind of internet.
That's what I ran into that. I got one of those track phones and I was trying to block and I could not figure out how to block access to YouTube. Like, this is insane. How can I not do this? But data block, that's great.
So here's the thing is Bill Gates and Steve Jobs had kids. Neither one of them allowed their kids to have any internet device until they were 18.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, they made all this stuff and they said, yeah, we know what's on there and we're not letting our kids go on this thing.
Wow.
And they're not Christian. Think about that.
Yeah.
If they won't let their have kids, what on earth would you give that to your kid for? I don't care if all of your kids' friends have stuff. It doesn't matter, you know. So that's one thing.
That's huge.
But I would say this. They do need to learn how. So basically the teenage years are when they learn how. So you kind of have to introduce them to the technology and little by little piece it out there. And there's things you can do. I'm not an expert in that. You want to start like when they get to one app, you give them like one app. And then, you know, you see how well they do with that. You can study it. Just protect young eyes. Chris McKenna, they basically review, he's a Christian, we review all the apps out there and you can kind of look through and try to find what you want to start with. Even things like Spotify, there's sexual stuff on Spotify. I mean, I don't care. There's no such thing as an innocent app.
Yeah, like videos and things like that. Yeah. Or just lyrics, song lyrics.
Well, but they can also message each other through people.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So you get predators on Spotify looking for kids and things like that. Okay, it won't show up on texts. So anyway, there's all kinds of stuff like that. So when it comes to how to live, and then don't forget if you have a smart TV, kids can go to the internet on that.
Right.
You wouldn't even know it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
Or YouTube or whatever. So then then you're dealing with your router level. Okay. So there's two organizations you should know of. One is called Better Screen Time, and they have all kinds of guidance for this. And they're always doing research on that kind of thing. Vonna Davis is the one who runs that. And so they specialize in this, the technology stuff.
Got it.
Then there's another one, if you're having trouble figuring out how to actually set up what you want to set up in your house, it's called Parents Who Fight, parentswhofight.com or org or something like that.
Great.
And they actually will, sometimes they're hard to get a hold of, but you keep bugging them, and they actually will work with you to set up, you help you figure out what the best solution is to your house,
right,
and how to protect your router, which then protects your TV and all that kind of stuff. And the other one I mentioned is Protect Young Eyes. And they're the ones who do the app. So those are your three big ones for kind of the technical aspects of this.
Well, that's hugely helpful. So Better Screen Time, Parents Who Fight, and Protect Young Eyes. Those are organizations to check out for sure. It strikes me, John, as you mentioned this, like these are all so helpful. But and I know you would agree with this, but it's just worth emphasizing the point. But this kind of stuff, that this logistical and technical and, you know, IT kind of stuff, it's important. It could be helpful. But man, we cannot rely on this stuff. Like there are so many ways the kids can get around it or get with other kids or find another way or something. And so if we just kind of set back and say, hey, well, I've protected, you know, my kids can't get on the internet or something, like we're fooling ourselves if we think this is never going to be an issue because we've locked down that stuff. You know,
the internet didn't exist when I was a kid and I got exposed to tons of stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's only part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great reminder.
Okay, quick interruption to our programming here. If you have a son ages 9 to 12 and you live near the Charlotte area, listen up because we have an important opportunity for you. Chances are you care a lot about your boy becoming a godly young man. But wait, what even is a godly young man? What character qualities do our boys need to become the type of young men we want them to be and that we know God wants them to be? Well, we're going to take a good look at those questions at our first ever Young Man Boot Camp in Concord, North Carolina in 4 consecutive evenings, Monday, July 31st through Thursday, August 3rd. Boys ages 9 to 12 are invited, and it's going to be awesome. Here at Strategic Families, we believe in the power of men and in the promise of young men to push back the darkness and to be a force for goodness and for God's glory. This doesn't start when they turn 18 and suddenly someone calls them a man. No, it starts now when they're young, in your home, and they need to catch a vision for godly manhood. I don't think I need to convince you that our culture desperately needs strong men, resolute men, principled men. If that's the type of young man you want your son to be, join us. This could be the start of something really special in his life. We'll study godly men of the Bible and learn what a godly man is and does. It's only $100 for 4 consecutive evenings. So again, that's Young Man Boot Camp on Monday through Thursday, July 31st through August 3rd in the Charlotte area, specifically Northwest Baptist Church in Concord. Learn more and register at strategicfamilies.com/youngmanbootcamp. We would love to see your son there. Okay, back to the show.
Okay, so another question that I wanted to ask, and I think we've talked about this in different ways, but is just the consequences. This is that, you know, sort of so what question. You know, no guarantees. Obviously, we know parenting doesn't confer guarantees, even when we feel like we've done it strategically. But, you know, there are some ways in which we can set our kids up for success and set them up for godliness and holiness, or at least give them a really good shot at it by giving them a good foundation. I wonder if you could just talk about, like, if we fail to take this seriously, what can happen? And if we do take it seriously, what are we giving them a good chance of? So just kind of set that vision for us.
Well, one of the things that I don't think parents understand very well is that if we fail to take this seriously, parents have a tendency to not be as close with their kids. Because when you avoid difficult conversations, basically what you're doing is we're avoiding difficult conversations. So if you're avoiding this conversation, there's likely other conversations you're avoiding too.
Yep.
And so you're never learning how to work through with your kids difficult situations. And so that keeps your relationships fairly superficial and surface, and increases the likelihood of things happening that really do strain relationship, because you never learned how to deal with difficult situations with your kids. So again, this is the opposite of what parents are afraid of. They think if I talk about this, it's going to make our relationship bad, but it's not. One caveat I want to throw in here. We parents have our own sexual baggage, right? We had things we've been through, and maybe a mother had a brother or uncle or dad who used a lot of porn, and they saw how negative that was. And so they have this, if they find out one of their kids is looking at it, they have this reaction of like remembering all that, all the bad memory comes in.
Yep.
Parents need to deal with their own baggage in order to do any of this very well. Mm. So I mentioned it last time that I was sexually abused as a kid. I had to get to go to therapy for that. If you don't deal with that, that will highly impact how well you can help your kids. 1 out of 3 women was sexually abused, and 1 out of 6 men were sexually abused as boys.
Oh,
and so there are listeners here that's part of your story. And so if you don't get some help with that, the effects of that will make it really hard for you to do a good job with you're acting emotionally, and your kid will freak out and you will not be safe to talk to. If you struggle with something like pornography or some other kind of sex addiction yourself, you need to be getting help. There's tons of help out there for that kind of stuff. If you just learned like it's just wrong to talk about sex, we don't do that, you need to work through that, because you're going to have to with your kid.
Right.
And we can't have this. Not good if a kid comes home and says, I heard this question, I have this question about sex, and the parent freaks out.
Right. That's a closed door. Yeah.
When I was 9 years old, I did ask my mom what masturbation was. And my mom flipped out. She didn't get mad at me, but she got really upset. And I remember distinctly saying, wanting this to end as soon as possible. And I will not ever ask another question. If my mom freaked out this bad, I can't even imagine what my dad's going to do.
Yeah.
We want to invite our children into calm, not join them in their chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we may have some work to do. Now, we can still start talking about feelings. This step one is talking about feelings. You can do that anyway, but a lot of parents are going to need to do something to kind of deal with some of their own past so they can be gentle and not project that onto their kids.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, we don't want to close that door at all. We don't mean to, but that kind of freaking out, I can see where kids are like, oh, okay, well, we're not going to talk about that. And that's not what we want.
On the positive side, now we all make mistakes. I got mad at my kids for doing things inappropriate that it's going to happen, right? But you can apologize, right? Yep. So if you've already blown it with your kids, you can apologize and say, that was wrong of me.
Yeah.
Don't make excuses. Don't apologize. I shouldn't have done that, but no, I shouldn't have done that. End of story.
Period. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the positive side of that is having such a deeper relationship. Both my daughter and my son, they're both young adults now. They're in their 20s. I think we might talk more about sex now than we did when they were teenagers. In other words, they both ask questions and talk about things and very appropriate kind of things, or talk about what's going on in the world and what they think about that and all this stuff. But at this deeper level, because we did that when they were middle school, high school age, right? And so the level of feeling known and understood and trust and all that stuff is just at just a different level. I'm watching my son parent his first kid, who is a year and a half about, and he is an amazing father. And I think a lot of it came from these conversations because even though, it kind of helps you kind of approach parenting a whole different way. So, I mean, all I can say is if you don't have these conversations, you're missing so much as far as relating to your kids.
Yeah, that's a great point. Cause it's not just about like, if you don't have these conversations, well, they're not going to know things that they would otherwise have known. It's not just that. It's also about the relationship and the depth of relationship that you're missing out on. So yeah, that's a fantastic point. John, as we close, I just wonder if there's a parent out there listening who's like, oh man, good point. My kid's 15. I have said nothing about this. It's super awkward. I don't even know where to start. Can you offer some encouragement to a parent like that? That it's not too late. There are things we can do now. Where would you recommend that parent starts?
Where I always invite parents to start is talking about feelings. Okay, is that learn how to do that. And I mentioned the book Honest Talk, which has a lot of instruction for parents. But if you're like, I just need to do something now, we have a course, two courses that online courses on our website, purelifeacademy.org, in the family section. One is emotional resilience. And so what it's called Family Integrity, Emotional Resilience. And the other one is Family Integrity, The Need for Freedom. So both of these courses are designed to help start having, actually might start with The Need for Freedom on that for in that kind of thing, is that, so emotion, that's teaching you how to be heard and understood and talk about feelings and that kind of stuff. It does kind of talk a little bit there's a section for little kids, a section for kind of grade schoolish age kids, and then a section for adolescents. The adolescents ones does eventually get into talking about how that when we're not heard and understood and we don't feel any sense of freedom, it can lead to sexual temptation. It does talk about that, but it doesn't start there. So it's a way to gently kind of get into those conversations, if that makes sense. And it walks you into them. And both those courses have a section up front for parents to kind of help parents understand before you do this with your kid, understand this so you respond well. And then the rest of them, they're little like 3-minute videos. You just sit with your kid and you watch them right there. And then it says, now talk about this or now do this. And so you don't have to think about anything. There's a whole bunch of them. And so you can do one a week or something. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't require that you read a book or whatever, like just kind of walks you into it. And you don't start with sex. You start with how do we talk about personal things and slowly kind of get into that. I think that's Coming to my mind, that's where I want to start, I think.
Yeah, that's great. So definitely not something that we should just, even if we feel behind, you know, a friend of mine said, I love this quote. He says, the best time to plant a tree was 50 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today.
Exactly.
I love that. So it's like, yeah, I mean, you should have maybe let it go. It's gone. Let's start now. We can do that. John, encourage us with some scripture here. Is there a passage of scripture that's been really influential to you in your ministry on this topic?
The scripture that is this is not aimed at parents, and this is maybe not quite what you're thinking about, but my inspiration is the scripture, Christ came. I'm not going to say it right because I'm not a theologian. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But it was for this reason, not for me, that he saved me, but so that I could be an example to other people. Because I do this kind of work, but my childhood, everything that could possibly go wrong sexually did. And as a young adult, I wanted so badly to live for Christ, but my life, through sexual life was horrible, right? And God took me and saved me and turned me around and helped me do that. And so you might say, I'm the last qualified person that should do this because look at my past, you know? But that's what God does, is he takes the most messed up people and has them be a minister in the area that they were the worst at. And so for parents who feel, how I would apply that to parents is, you might feel like, I can't do this. And it's like, no, that's what God wants. That's where he wants you, is like, there's no way I can do this. He goes, yeah, I know. So I'm going to let me show you. And yes, then you'll understand it's all me, not you.
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. So I was looking this up. It says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. Thank you so much. Well, this last thing, I'm sure there's going to be people who want to learn more about your ministry and about Be Broken, and talked about your books last time. Where can they go to find some of these great resources, like the training videos and things like that?
The two places is for books and those kind of resources and other things is bebroken.org. Now, one thing I got to mention is, I forgot to mention last session, is that Critical Conversations, those six conversations, I give those live once a month. And you can see that on Be Broken in the Family Services. It's called Critical Conversations Webinar. It's free. And I go into much more detail than I did in this. So I would highly, if you haven't been to that, I'd recommend that as a starting point. And then we have a bunch of books and other kind of things on that. And then the online courses are on purelifeacademy.org in the family section. And we have several courses in there, including a family game plan for responding to porn, which is, that we recommend any kid who's reached puberty go through. You know, because there's books like Good Pictures, Bad Pictures for younger kids, but this is when they reach puberty, the conversation changes. And so that's what that's.
Yep. Excellent. Well, that's great. We'll include those links in the show notes so people can just click on those and get some more information. So that is great. Well, John Fort, this has been a pleasure and a treat. Awesome, awesome topic. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for encouraging us and challenging us to take this seriously. It's been a joy. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
John, thanks again, my man. You have shared so many great points with us. I know this is going to bless so many people, provide for some amazing closeness within families, and by God's grace, help protect young hearts and lives in this incredibly important area of life. So thank you so much for your time and expertise, and may God richly bless the work of Be Broken Ministries. All right, so my song recommendation for this week is called Lift My Hands by Forrest Frank, whom you may know from the band Surfaces. We were playing the song at the beach recently, and it's just a fun, chill worship song. A great one for the summer. So crank it up with your kids. All right, that's it for now. We'll see you next time.